Here. Lord Jesus, Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for this opportunity to be able to study Your Word, to be able to learn some of the basics, be able to build our foundation solid on the beliefs that are found in the Scriptures. Please be with us now as we dig a little deeper into there. Give us that faith-building knowledge that comes from that. Lead, guide, direct everything as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. As we said, part two here is the Trinity of God. That's what sets us apart from all the other religions. Like we spoke of recently, where there's no other name under heaven whereby you must be saved. And it's the name of Jesus Christ. Because He is part of that Trinity. We have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Something that's been an issue all the way back is that the knowledge and the acknowledgement of the Trinity. Not just a God, which we have a God, which is three parts. Other religions, as we spoke before, have a God which is a singular part. No Trinity. Other religions don't respect the fact that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. They recognize Him as a prophet, as a great teacher, but not as the Son of God. Not equal, not part of the Trinity. They don't understand the concept of Trinity. It's a very hard concept to wrap your head around. I've heard lots of different analogies, like one of them, for instance, people will use the analogy of water. You have water. You can have water in three different forms. You can have it in liquid form, you have ice form, or you can have it in steam form. I don't particularly like that one. It's just changing the altering a particular thing. I like the one like maybe egg, for instance. You take egg. You got the shell, you got the white, and you got the yolk. If you take the shell, the egg shell is still egg. Take the white, egg white is still egg. The yolk is still egg. You put them all together, it's egg. Take them all apart, still egg. All egg. Part of the Trinity. Our minds can't really comprehend the ability to be three and one. St. Patrick tried to use something that was familiar to the people when he went to Ireland and was establishing Christianity there. He used a local plant known as the shamrock. The cultic beliefs was that green represented new beginnings and everlasting life, which was very convenient because that was also convenient for St. Patrick to use as well. Using that green representing everlasting life, and he picked the shamrock, which is a three-leafed type clover, and he could use that as a symbol, saying, okay, you look at the clover. It says each leaf is still a clover. You pull it off or you tear it apart. It's a leaf that has three lobes, they call it. And all together, it is one. And it is three parts, but yet it is still one. That's the Trinity. So that was a real good one that he picked. And you see different symbols. You got the symbol that's been altered. Back in the 60s, an alteration to a symbol which was a peace symbol. The original peace symbol being a circle split in three parts, which was a circle with a Y in it. Well, in the 60s, the anti-government, anti-war movement come along and they wanted a symbol for peace. So they took an ancient alphabet and put the N and the D together, distorted it a little bit and put it inside of a circle. And it made a circle with an upside down Y with a split in the middle. So it's like the circle is split in the middle and then it's a Y on it, which is commonly thought of today as being the peace symbol, which in the 60s they used that as a symbol for nuclear disarmament. And they used that as being that was what peace would be, nuclear disarmament. So that's how that part of that symbol began to be used for that. But if you look at the history back beyond that, when that symbol, that particular symbol, if you trace it on back to its original origin, actually means death. It's a symbol of death. But yet today they use it as a peace symbol. If they look at the true origin of it, they're wearing a symbol of death. You know, there might be peace in death for some not so much. So when these kids are wearing these peace symbols all over them, that's actually death symbols all over them. They don't realize that. Of course, in some circles, it might be more popular if they knew it really meant the death symbol. So it's interesting how these symbols and these have been changed through the times as well. But I've got a book that has many symbols in it, and there's lots of symbols that have been used through time to represent the Trinity in three parts: the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And that's the critical part to remember and to realize that they are one. Even though they're individual, they are still one. So we have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. We can take this all the way back to Genesis 1:1. If you will, turn over to Genesis chapter 1. The book of origins, you might call it. The book of beginnings. The foundational book for all of our beliefs. The book of Genesis. And if you look at Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, it reads, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." The word God there, if you go back to the Hebrew, is the word Elohim. Elohim is what you call a uniplural word, more than one, representing a Trinity. You got a plural, but then you got a multi-plural, which is, this is a Trinity. So anytime you see that here, there's 2,500 times that the word Elohim was used in the Old Testament in the original Hebrew writings. And this is one of those situations. Now you can also verify this being the Trinity by moving on down to verse 26. So you got Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. It reads, "And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness," indicating that he wasn't alone. Because we know it was the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost there, all the way back before the beginning. People say, well, this is the beginning. Well, what is this the beginning of? Where it says in the beginning, this is in the beginning of the creation of the universe and everything that we know. Day one. Because as it said back over in chapter 1, verse 1, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters." There you've got two indicated as well. You've got God and you've got the Spirit of God indicated. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Anytime you're hearing about God said, who is that referring to? That actually refers to Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ is the Word. If you look up the word "word" back into the Greek or the Hebrew, it's logos or rhema, which means the spoken word. And the spoken word was always Jesus Christ, because we know you can go all the way back over, if you will, to the New Testament now. One we've covered so often, one of my favorites, John chapter 1. In John chapter 1, verse 1, it reads, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God." The Word is Jesus Christ and is with God. "And the Word was God," because He's part of the Trinity. "He's the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made." Jesus Christ. Because over in verse 14 it reads, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Jesus Christ. So we got right there from the very first book in Genesis and the very first chapter here in John, a reference to the Holy Trinity. Because we got God, the whole unity of all three. We got the Spirit of God, which is the Holy Ghost moving upon the waters. We got the spoken word, which is Jesus Christ, right from the very beginning in Genesis. The Trinity. People don't like to realize this. People don't want to admit that Jesus Christ is truly the Son of God and that He is part of the Holy Trinity, because they want to just think of Him as a teacher or a prophet, and that He began in Bethlehem, which is a terrible flaw. Which may be why Christmas is not emphasized in the Scriptures. There's nowhere in the Scriptures that we're told to celebrate Christmas. We celebrate Christmas honoring the day that our Lord and Savior was born in the flesh. But we get distracted and distorted and just think about it as being the birth of Jesus Christ. And then we celebrate Easter as being His death. But then many times they never even realized or never even emphasized what happened 40 days later after His resurrection was that He ascended to the Father. He is alive still today. We don't have a day to celebrate the ascension. We really should celebrate the ascension more than the resurrection, or equal to the resurrection, I should say. Because it was critical that he rose, and also equally critical that he ascended to the Father and sits there on the right hand of the Father today. We have the Holy Ghost in us, those of us who are saved. So we're recognizing the Trinity in that. Whereas when we get saved, we turn our lives over to Jesus Christ. He is now our advocate to the Father, and he gave us the Comforter within us, so we are associated with the Trinity. If we are born again. If we're not, then we don't have that connection. So the Trinity is very important. The Trinity is critical. Don't take it lightly. Too many so-called Christian groups out there actually don't even recognize the Trinity. All right, let's look at some more of this in chapter 14. John chapter 14. Give you some indications of how Jesus Christ was explaining the scenario or the situation or the relationship between Him and the Father and how we fit into that. So looking at John chapter 14. John chapter 14, verse 1, it reads, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whether I go, ye know, and the way ye know." Thomas saith unto Him, "Lord, we know not whether Thou goest, and how can we know the way?" Jesus said unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me." Establishing the fact that there are two here, the Father and the Son. No man cometh to the Father but by Me. It says, if ye had known Me, ye should have known My Father also, and from henceforth ye know Him and have seen Him. Philip saith unto Him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us." Jesus saith unto him, "Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known Me, Philip? He that hath seen Me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father?" Because Jesus Christ was filled with the Father, and it was just shining out from Him, and they could see the Father through Him. Just as when we become born again, they can see Jesus Christ through us. In verse 10 here, chapter 14, verse 10 of John reads, "Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in Me? The works that I speak unto you, I speak not of Myself, but the Father that dwelleth in Me, He doeth the works." Giving credit where credit's due, just like we are responsible for doing that as well. We've got to give all the credit to Jesus Christ who lives in us. "Believe Me that I am in the Father, and the Father in Me, or else believe Me for the very works' sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on Me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do also, he do, because I go unto My Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in My name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in My name, I will do it. If ye love Me, keep My commandments. And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever." The Trinity, the Holy Ghost. So here we have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, all mentioned here in chapter 14. And He does this over and over through chapter 14, emphasizing the relationship there. The Trinity is so critical that we emphasize the Trinity, because that eliminates a massive amount of pagan gods out there, a massive amount of religions that these so-called politicians and celebrities and people of interest in that manner claim that we all worship the same God. We do not clearly worship the same God, because they do not honor the Trinity, and they do not recognize Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Therefore, we do not worship the same God. In verse 17 reads, "Even the Spirit of Truth," another name for the Holy Ghost, "whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you." All of us that are saved, all of us that are born again, have the Holy Ghost living in us. Part of that Trinity. which I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him, or reveal myself to him. So over and over there, emphasizing that relationship between the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. And we have that relationship. Once we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, we get tied into that and we're part of that. And there's a conduit flowing, the Holy Ghost within us. And that power of the Holy Ghost gives us the comfort, gives us the knowledge, gives us the understanding of the Scriptures, reveals to us God, gives us that peace that passeth all understanding. And He, within us, prays the Father, prays to the Father on our behalf. Even when we're out of connection with what we truly need, might even be praying incorrectly or asking for something we shouldn't have, the Holy Ghost steps in and prays for what we really should have, what we really truly need. And He prays for us even when we're not praying for ourselves. If we have that kind of close relationship with the Holy Ghost, if we yield to the Holy Ghost, if we listen to the Holy Ghost, and you do that through prayer and supplication, through studying the Word, and through listening to your heart, that you know that when it's coming from the Holy Ghost. Not when it's coming from Satan, but when it's coming from the Holy Ghost. Listen to that, and He'll direct your path. And He'll make that intercession for you to Jesus Christ, who's making intercession to God Almighty, and you complete that full circle, and you're part of the Trinity. And that you have a relationship that the world, as it says here, cannot see, it cannot comprehend, can't even know about it, because they have not yet accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Another reference to the acknowledgement of all three together at the same time, if you will, turn over to the beginning part of Matthew and find out here another point where He was first revealed to man, the Trinity there, when Jesus was baptized by John. If you look at Matthew chapter 3, you'll see where all three together were revealed. In Matthew chapter 3 and verse 13, it reads, "Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffereth him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him." The Holy Ghost. You got Jesus, now you got the Holy Ghost. And then in verse 17, "And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Father. So you got the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, all introduced right there. So John realized who Jesus Christ was at that moment when all that was revealed to him. And that he heard that. So right there once again, all of them together. If you turn on over in Matthew to chapter 28, you see another relationship or reference here to the Holy Ghost that Jesus had made. In part of what is the Great Commission that I read so often here in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18, it reads, now this is after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Shortly before the ascension, Jesus is talking to the disciples here, and he says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." The Trinity. Anytime you've got a religion out there, even if they're going door to door, knocking on everybody's door, leaving these little pamphlets in the door latch or in the window, doesn't mean that they're of God. Because if they don't recognize Jesus Christ for who He is, they are not of His. And clearly, right here, puts all three together. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Clear and simple. Yet they deny that. All right, let's look at another reference here to how the Holy Ghost came to us over in the book of Acts, where Jesus is going to ascend to the Father here in Acts chapter 1. In verse 1 here, Acts chapter 1 and verse 1, it reads, "The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion, by many infallible proofs, being seen of him 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Then returned they unto Jerusalem." Now, if you know on down, if you go over to chapter 2 here, skip on over to chapter 2, it reads, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all gathered one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." Over and over, Jesus Christ referring to Himself, the Father, and the Holy Ghost, and presenting us the Holy Ghost, giving us the Holy Ghost as a comforter because He's ascended to the Father. So now we have the Holy Ghost here with us. You could say that Jesus lives in you. He recognizes that. We could say that God lives in us. You could say that the Trinity is within us. Because if you're part of any of it, you are part of the whole. So we have within us, we are the temple of God because the Holy Ghost lives within us. So we should act like that every single day. Everywhere we go, know that we are carrying along with us the Spirit of God right within us. And that's an awesome responsibility, awesome opportunity, and awesome grace that He's presented to us. That Comforter, prior to the New Testament, prior to this day of Pentecost, the Holy Ghost would come upon someone for a season. It would come upon someone for just a specific task that was given to them. It wasn't given broadly to everyone who was a follower of the Lord. It wasn't done that way. They would just be introduced for a particular season or a particular while or a particular task was put upon them. The Holy Ghost would come and give them that ability to do that task. Now, we have such an awesome opportunity as Christians. When we get saved, the Holy Ghost comes in us and stays in us. Now, what we do with that is critical on how much we're going to do for the Lord, whether we're going to obey what the Holy Ghost does within us or wants to do within us and lead and guide us, or do we want to ignore that? Do we want to, as we've said so often, do we want to gag him, bind him, throw him in a trunk and drive our vehicle the way we want to? Or do we want to get over in a passenger seat and let the Holy Ghost get up there and drive our vehicle and follow His path? And that's what we're supposed to do, because that is part of the Trinity that we have within us at all times as Christians. And we got to recognize that. And we got to realize whenever we're looking at any other religion that might be out there, any other so-called Christian or non-Christian religion, if they do not recognize the Trinity, they are not of the truth. They are not worshiping the same God. They do not recognize the Trinity. They are false. Simple as that. So that's why knowing about the Trinity and recognizing the Trinity and spreading the gospel about the Trinity is so important, so that the world can know. We do not all serve the same God. If you don't serve the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, recognize Jesus Christ for being an equal part of that, recognizing Jesus Christ as being the Creator, the one that spoke everything into existence, recognizing Jesus Christ as the one who gave us the Comforter, and recognize Jesus Christ as the one who gave us salvation through the shed blood and Him taking on all the sins of all the world, then you're Antichrist. If you don't recognize Jesus Christ for who He is, then you're Antichrist. You're not serving the same God. So that's why it's so important to have that solid foundational belief in the Trinity. Don't yield on that. Stand firm on that. And that's my message for the night. Let's go ahead and pray. Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for this opportunity to be able to have the Holy Ghost within us, to be able to have all those gifts, to be able to have all that power that is within us. Help us to be able to tap into that, to use that for Your honor and for Your glory. Please help us every day that we go out here into the world, we realize that we're carrying around in us, all those that are saved, are carrying around in us the Spirit of the Lord. And if there be anybody here or anybody listening to this that doesn't have that relationship, that hasn't received the Holy Ghost because they have not turned their life over to You, please help them make that decision to turn their life over to You, to accept that free gift of salvation before it's everlasting too late. We thank You so much for this time of studying Your Word. Lead, guide, direct everything, and bring us back at the next appointed time as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Thank you all.